Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Back in, and Parker Fleming is joining via the phone line. He is a writer when it comes down to it. Substack Elitist, make sure you go subscribe. Grizzlies and NBA Draft free Substack. If you give monetary support, he doesn't even pocket it. He gives it straight to St. Jude because he's a grade-A human being. But he is Parker Fleming on X at Paka_Flocka. Parker, happy Friday, brother.
Gabe, happy Friday. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What would your message be to Grizzlies fans about a game like last night where you're playing an awful, awful, awful team and you hammer them? Obviously, you can't take like these massive – there's no takeaways, conclusions, generalizations. But, you know, the way things have been going with injury, the way things have been going with rotations, the way things have been going with, you know, Jaren and Ja, you know, how much of a win is last night, I guess, is what I'll start with.
Yeah, I would just say just enjoy it, you know? Obviously, like, you can't make any, like, grandioso statements about the team for beating the Sacramento Kings. However, one, this is better than the conversation we could be having about losing to the Sacramento Kings. That would be a disaster. But secondly, I mean, I've kind of had this idea that for this season, I'm taking my game-to-game, stretch-to-stretch observations with how Cedric Howard and Zach Edey look.
Right.
And this week, they've looked awesome.
We will hammer both of them here. First off, I put this out there last night. When Zach Edey was coming out, 7'4", maybe not the fleetest of foot by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, He is a guy who does all of the things and showed it at Purdue that make a good, you know, down low presence center five in the NBA. You remember the draft evals, and I'm not sure exactly what you put in your NBA draft, you know, your whole book that you do every NBA draft season. But has he already outperformed the evals? I mean, we're talking about a guy, all rookie first team. He had 9 points, 8 rebounds on 58% from the field. He was sixth in the NBA last year in offensive rebounds per game. He was top 25 in blocks. Like, when I look at the skill set it takes to be a everyday, no doubt, NBA five, he seems to do all of the things that matter. And, you know, Rudy Gobert got paid $36.5 million for these things. Tell me what you think about where Zach Edey is at compared to where we were when he was drafted, the draft evals and the thought process behind those.
Yeah, I remember that. Obviously, that was my first draft guy. And with Zach Edey, it was a very confounding case for him and something that kind of just built over time throughout the cycle where, you know, I was watching him in that tournament game against Tennessee, and I'm like, okay, this guy's going to play. He's going to get a second contract. Like this should be at least a first-round pick. All right. So then we get later in, and, you know, in the draft combine, he said, I model my game after Steven Adams, Zubac, and
– Zubac was the comp I liked when
Zubac,
he was coming out.
Yeah, and Valanciunas. And so then – I think, okay, a 7'4" version of that is an obvious starting center. So then I kind of put him in the lottery. And then, you know, after that, I kind of just held. And I honestly, this isn't just me saying with just like where I am with him now. Like, I'm not trying to sound hindsight or anything or whatever. But my infatuation with this game grew over the course of the draft cycle. And I wish I would have had a little bit more flexibility towards the end of my cycle, because I remember, like, I had my firm top seven, which it sounds okay, but not great right now. Sar, Reed Shepard, Donovan Klingon, Ron Holland, Steph Castle, Zachary Richechet, Rob Dillingham. And I remember I was like, I'm really stuck at eight. Because right. I had a lot of guys I liked. You know, I love Jared McCain, love Devin Carter, love the Eve Meese. We both love Eve Meese.
Still do. Loved still Kirsten do. DeSilk. Just needs to stay healthy.
Still do. Yeah. But with Zach Edey, I was like, I really like Zach Edey now. But I think when you are talking about outperforming his evals, I would say by the raw numbers, stand by. Because we're waiting on the rebounding numbers to climb up, but even then, you saw his trajectory towards outperforming his evals when Isolo took over last year. And I would probably say where I am saying he's outperforming his evals is with his overall impact.
Right.
Because I did not anticipate him having this paramount of an impact this quickly, because it's really tricky with these bigs. There's, you know, the Jonas Valanciunas case where he's going to add you some wins in the regular season, but it's not going to add up to much in the playoffs because he's not scheme versatile. And then obviously you had that one series that was just a bad matchup with Steven Adams, but his impact is undeniable. And now it's showing in Houston. We see the effect Zubac has on the Clippers. Edey's having that same impact for Mets.
Right.
Like, the possessions game, the roll gravity, the amount of assists the Grizzlies generated last night just because they had to guard him with two on the roll, where Santi Aldama probably had time to go grab a bite to eat before shooting a three before the defense closed out. It was insane. So, yeah, I just think that this is a dude that, kind of like how Adams was for Memphis, I can see him being a real glue to winning.
Right, and you see – now I know he doesn't qualify for this stat, but, like, if you just go look at it, his net rating since he has been inserted into the lineup is the best on the Grizzlies. But granted, obviously, he's only played three games. But you just look at the things that make a – five, like a true, like, big man in the NBA. And what are those things? Physicality, an edge. I think he brings both of those. Get boards, get putbacks, and block shots. And when you just look at all of his metrics, look at all of those things, the guy's already there. Now, why did the draft evals look the way they did? You know what I mean? Like, why were people so down on Edey? Is it simply foot speed? Because he did all of this at Purdue.
I'm not trying to, like, aura farm when I say a statement like this, but it's because people don't see a lot of Zach Edey's.
Right.
Like, this is a guy that's 7'4", and in today's NBA, we associate big 7'4" guys that are
we think like Boban. But he's way fleeter of foot, you know? Like, it's not even close.
And the stamina, too. Like, he played almost every game, all game at Purdue. Like, we're used, with his size, we're used to Boban and Taco Fall. And that's why people had a tough eval with Zach Edey, because there's definitely production there. But at the same time, the only sort of historical context that we have are nowadays as gimmicks. But if you go expand deeper, we're talking about like historic centers with his pedigree, his size, his skill, and just the sheer force that he plays with.
What I love about him more than anything is how willing and good of a pick and roll player he is. Like, you brought up Steven Adams. Steven Adams was, he's one of the best screeners in the NBA. Like, I don't think anybody has any, you know, will argue that. But he was never a role guy. He was never a fully willing participant, you know, with Ja Morant when it came to being a dump-off guy right there by the rim. And Edey just brings that in a massive way. And I love that about him. It does remind me of Ivica Zubac. And if you just go look at the, you know, age 22 and 23, you know, years of Zubac's career, it seems like Edie's outperforming him, you know, at least on paper, if you go to the Basketball Ref page.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. With Edey, I'm just excited to see where this can go.
Yep.
With more games under his belt, the insertion of Ja Morant and Ty Jerome. But there's just a different sort of presence that he brings out of the pick and roll. And why I was saying, while everyone was all Chicken Little, like,
right,
everyone's like, you are delusional for thinking Zach Edey and Ty Jerome could fix this.
Not all of it. You know, like, I don't think you ever said that.
No, no.
But
I know. But
what I have noticed, even against, you know, the better teams in the NBA, you know, since Edey has come back, this team is better. Yeah. And just actively better.
For sure. And it's just, again, because, A, teams have to care about him in the pick and roll. That's why Ja was getting blitzed so much, because they don't care if, like, you can't throw it up to Jock Landale and he goes and gets it and he dunks it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and credit to Jock Landale, he played good last night. But there's just a different sort of presence that Edey brings in the pick and roll, not just with his finishing, but he creates space, he forces the defense to adjust so shooters get better looks, and also to defend, like, all this talk, but defensively, there's just a different sort of presence and deterrence. I'm not calling him like a Rudy Gobert presence, but there's a different sort of deterrence and presence that he brings because he's 7'4".
Right. On the defensive end, he's actually – I keep going back to Zubac, but Zubac was on the all-defensive team last year. He was an all-NBA guy. But Zach Edey had more blocks per game than him. Like, on the defensive end, yes, it's going to be hard for him to defend a pick and roll. And he's going to have to learn that. He's, you know, the Grizzlies going forward are going to have to scheme around that, figure out what they need to do with that. But he really is a way better defender than anybody gave credit to him coming out of the, you know, NBA draft. Now, Cedric Coward. I talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, but with the way he's playing, I know he's not like some guy that forces the issue yet, but when you look at his ceiling, I know Draymond Green thinks it's Kawhi Leonard, which is that's aspirational. But when you look at what his potential ceiling could be, like, what do you see?
I mean, when you're saying ceiling, you're talking about like absolute best outcome, which is like,
sure.
I don't even want to say Kawhi, because this is a Finals MVP. This is a guy that, I mean, a two-time Finals MVP actually.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy that in 2019 probably had one of the best playoff runs we've seen since Jordan. Like, but there's some names that come to mind when thinking, oh, what can Cedric Coward be? Like, maybe like a more physical Mikal Bridges. But then again, it's just kind of like, this is a...
We're still in a wait and see period, no?
Yeah, we are still wait and see. But this is an outlier basketball development. This is a guy that 2 years ago was playing JUCO, or 3 years ago, And then he only played six games at Washington State last year. Then he was going to go to Duke, and then rose up to the lottery. And the thing with Fetcher Coward that's enticing is that he's 16 games through, and his bad games are just a product of not shooting the ball well. It's like, it's not that he's playing bad. It's just that it's like in those games, he's just not, the shots aren't falling. Everything about his process, it's like a basketball computer. Like I feel the same way watching him as I felt about watching Cooper Flagg last year at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything just seems right.
Mm-hmm.
He's usually in the right spot. The mistakes aren't brain farts. Reads the floor quickly, knows where to be defensively. It's just, it's quite insane. But I don't want to put a ceiling on what he can be. So, I mean, look, the player people are going to throw out a lot because every NBA GM is trying to find the next version of this guy. Like Jalen Williams, within three right. years of being in the NBA, he was the second best player on the team that won a championship. Like, I don't want to put a ceiling on Cedric Howard. This isn't me saying that he's going to be an all-timer or anything. I just want to go along on the ride and see where it takes us.
Do you think he could be a build-around player, like a number one guy eventually?
So these games right here with no Ja and potentially with no Jaren, whoever is not in the lineup, and I think last night was a good example, is – What does his game look like when he's a little bit more hunting for a shot?
Right.
Last night, 13 shot attempts, shot the three ball nine times. That's the stuff I like right there. I like high volume 3-point shooting. I am a modern basketball fan, and nowadays you need high volume shooters to make it far.
Yep.
Unless you have the Oklahoma City Thunder, where you have a generational defense and insane mid-range scoring with SGA and J-Dub. But like, that's what you got to watch for when it's like, okay, can you have this guy as your number one? Is what does it look like when he's shooting the ball 15 or 20 times a game?
Mm-hmm.
What sort of shots is he taking within shooting 15, 20 shots a game? But it's tough. I feel like this is more of a question for June of next
right.
year.
Right. We shall see. All right. Now, Vince Williams Jr. you know I love him. Got the full contract. I agreed with that. But last year, gets injured in the offseason. Doesn't get a full offseason to really work and prep and do his thing, and he paid for it on the back end. It just didn't look that great last year. Now he is playing well again. How much should I buy into this? Because what I see is with the injuries, like in 2023, Vince steps up, but so far with a fully healthy roster, or at least close to that, because we know the Grizzlies don't get to full health, he hasn't quite found his role. How much should I buy into what we're seeing? Guy had 15 assists to 3 turnovers last night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think for him it's one of those things that he struggles buying into a role. I just think that when it's one of those things, when it's time to buy into a role, the injury bug hits him. Because this is a guy that even dating back to VCU, he had injury issues. And, you know, you bring up the healthy offseason. That's what happened to him. Like, he got his entire season derailed because he came back in November and 2 games later, he had the nastiest ankle sprain.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's more about a mentality to buy in or even an ability. I think it's just more about the injury bug. And so when it comes to the question of how much of this should I buy, it's more of a hold on the injuries. So, I mean, when you're looking at everything, granted, he's not a guy you're going to be running offense as a primary engine, like where he's generating 15 assists. However, like you do need playmakers from as many positions as possible
mm-hmm.
in today's NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince is showing at the very least either A, if you want to get John Moran or Ty Jerome off the ball, you have a capable playmaker in Vince Williams Jr. Obviously, the defense stands out. Tomas Isolo last night raved about his point of attack defense and his physicality there. The rebounding to me stands out because one thing that he does that I really like is on the defensive glass is he'll grab it and throw an outlet pass. Mm-hmm. And it's easy transition offense from there. So it's just, again, all these little things where hopefully he could be healthy at the same time the team's healthy, healthy-ish for the team at least, mm-hmm. to where he can kind of show that he can thrive in this like connective role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you brought up on Twitter last night, on X, I should say, that you like the lineups so far with Edie, Coward, and Vince on the floor. What have you seen from that? Why do you like it so much?
I like it so much because it and granted, it feels silly to say offsets the playmaking because Vince Williams Jr. had 15 assists last night. But, I mean, for the most part, you do lose a lot of playmaking. Almost all your playmaking without John Morant, Ty Jerome, Scottie Pippen Jr., and even Jabal Small.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think, how can we best offset what we've lost? And with Vince and Coward and Edie, it's the possessions game. Because all three are great to elite as positional rebounders. And that's what I like, because if you're not going to be able to manufacture the shots that you usually do without those guys, you got to give yourself extra shot attempts. One thing that Tomas Isolo pointed out that I liked is that even in the San Antonio game, even in the Kings game, they generated 15 to 20 more field goal attempts than their opponent, which then at that point, it comes down to the shot quality and capitalizing on the shot quality and capitalizing on that. And I think those three guys give you the best chance to capitalize on that.
Yep. For sure. All right, Parker, final thing, and I'm sorry to bring this up. Your Bills lost last night, so you're a Bills fan in the NFL, and in college football you're a Ole Miss fan. And Lane Kiffin, the LSU rumors are getting louder and louder and louder. That surprises me. I thought it would be Florida, but here we are with the LSU job with him potentially about to take it. Are you in football hell?
Yeah. I mean, the thing with the Bills,
they got to stop the run, and they need some receivers that they can't get until next year, draft, whatever.
Well, I said about the receivers. And one thing that we talked about this, like, with everybody, like, everybody eats. It made Josh less turnover prone, but those turnovers are coming back.
They tried to go the Patrick – Brandon Bean tried to go the Patrick Mahomes route.
Yeah, but the difference is the Chiefs got guys that can get separation.
Mm-hmm. Because they run 4-2s.
The Bills don't have that. Their best receiver, and this is no disrespect, is Khalil Shakir, but he's a third option at bat on a great Super Bowl team. He's a third option.
No Tyrell Shavers love? Come on. Leading receiver last
Tyrell
week?
Shavers. We had no targets yesterday, though.
Yep.
Did he not play?
I beats the hell out of me.
Here's the thing. It's Josh Allen's prime, and he has to go. Brandon Bean has to go get guys that can get separation and get clean looks. But with Lane Kiffin, look, man, this is the deepest amount of hell I've ever been when it comes to Ole Miss football. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, take that back. I was a college student for Matt Luke and Heath.
Yeah, I was gonna say. That was not fun.
However, it's one of the things that bothers me because he's retweeting about the Egg Bowl. He's tweeting, come to the SIP. He's having the BTA 2026 Kiffin hats. His most prominent boosters, at least to the public eye, are responding to his tweets. To where it's like, what is this facade? What is going on?
I said it on Monday. If there was ever a time to act less like Lane Kiffin, it's right now. But he's Lane Kiffin. He's going to act how he acts.
Frankly, with every little come to the SIP tweet that I see, or when he tweets with the Trinidad flag, all that, the more it's going to absolutely sting if he left.
Right.
But, you know, retweeting an Egg Bowl post with him and Jackson Dart,
retweeting
Rebel Walk post, like,
right. What do you think about the idea? Chris Lowe wrote about this for On Three yesterday. If he leaves for the college football playoff, because I think that would be a massive shot against the system, and we need to look at the calendar. I've been saying that. You have to recruit, hit the ground running wherever you're going to be coaching, and we have the portal open for second round and semifinal games in the college football playoff. But Chris Lowe said if Lane Kiffin were to leave, the committee could decide to drop Ole Miss's seeding, even if they were to, you know, win their final game of the season against State in the Egg Bowl. What do you think about that idea?
That just takes away from the kids.
Yeah, I hate that part of it. And people are trying to do the Jordan Travis Florida State thing. It ain't the same to me. The only thing that would change is play calling and sequencing. And, yeah, Lane Kiffin's a great play caller, but he has also, with Charlie Weiss Jr., he's been there 3 years, and he's been game planning, helping call plays the entire time.
Yeah, granted, I'm not going to say anything about, Trinidad, because Trinidad's not an upgrade over Jackson Dart, even though he's played amazing. But Cuen Lacy has been the best running back in the SEC at 19 years old. I don't know. It bothers me to no end.
For sure. Well, Parker, have a good weekend, and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you, Gabe. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You are the man. Parker Fleming, make sure you go subscribe to Substack Elitist. His free.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Free Grizzlies and NBA Draft Substack. All monetary support, he doesn't pocket it. It goes straight to St. Jude because he's a grade A human being. You can follow him on X at @Paka_Flocka. Now we need to go ahead and hop into the Blitz on this Friday right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories. Overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Per Shams, the NBA is launching a league-wide biomechanics assessment program in an attempt to reduce injuries moving forward.
Biomechanics assessment program. We're going to talk about how the body moves and how it's affecting injuries and guys taking time off in the NBA. Adam Silver will do anything in his power, spend all types of money to get any other answer besides less back-to-backs and less games. I mean, it's kind of comical at this point. He will not move off of 82 games and multiple back-to-backs throughout the season. And biomechanics, let's dive into that a little deeper. Yes, you're going to get some information about how the bodies move, you know, what movements cause injury. But we've talked about this. A lot of these Achilles injuries that have happened to stars, Dame Lillard, Tyrese Halliburton, Jason Tatum, it's that negative step that they take on the offensive end or defensive end if they're trying to chase down a ball. It generates more power and acceleration out of a break. I guarantee he learns that the negative step is big for Achilles injuries, and that's why they happen. But what's he going to do with that information is my question. Let's say you learn that the negative step is causing Achilles to rupture. What now? What are you going to ban negative steps? Like, what are you going to do? So you're just learning about the body, but what changes can you actually make? You're studying the moves that they make to try to make changes, but what changes can you make to how they move on a floor? They're getting taught this in the offseason when they're doing their training. It's just ridiculous to me. The obvious answer, Connor, is less games and more rest. But, of course, for Adam Silver, he looks out for the owners. Money's on the line. They want to make sure they play an 82-game schedule with back-to-backs. It's foolish that they can't come to that conclusion and ultimately make the changes that are necessary to help NBA players stay on the floor.
I don't think it's some major mystery why NBA players are having more injuries now. The game is moving faster than it ever has. The pace is the highest it's ever been.
You're asked to do way more on the defensive end.
Players are far more athletic than they used to be. And like you said, there's just more activity. They're moving double the amount of time than they used to. Go watch a game from the 1990s, and there is a lot of standing around.
Yes.
You know what's not happening in today's game when you're watching? A bunch of standing around. There's constant movement, and it's the pace. So if Adam Silver wants to save injuries, you have to play fewer games. That's the answer. But you're not going to do that because it's going to cost the league money.
I just crack up, like, biomechanics assessment, meaning I'm going to study how players move. But when you get that information, what can you actually do with it? You can't do a thing with it.
I guess you could encourage
trainers can do something with that, but you already have a problem with guys sitting out games. That's why you have a 65-game threshold to get awards, which affects money at the end of the year. I mean, like, it's foolish to me. He knows the answer. He's just trying to get any other answer besides it.
The Center Daily Times' Penn State beat reporter, John Sauber, says Kalen DeBoer has become a top target for Penn State and their search for a new head coach.
Alabama head coach leaving for Penn State. Give me a damn break. Really? Are we really doing this? One, no one is leaving Bama for Penn State. I don't even think Kalen DeBoer's style is going to fit in the Big Ten in a massive way. Yeah, they run the ball. He had Washington rolling, but he tosses the ball around, doesn't play super aggressive and physical, so I don't think that would fit very well. Also, the second part, Kalen DeBoer hasn't really exactly delivered yet at Alabama. I know he's following Nick Saban at a 9-3 year. I think that's the best, tied for the best all time in a first year for an Alabama head coach, and has a path to the playoff this year. But he missed the playoff last year with a great roster. What this could be, if I'm reading it semi-correctly, because I don't really get this, and I hope it's not this, seems like agency talk maybe, where you're asking Bama, what are you willing to do to keep him? But what I would say to Kalen DeBoer and his agent is, y'all really want to do that? Right, like, that doesn't seem smart considering how Bama fans feel about you at this moment, considering you haven't made the college football playoff. So, like, I just, this story to me is a nothing burger, but if there is some agency stuff going on behind the scenes where Kalen DeBoer is trying to get more money and an extension out of Alabama, I guess that's possible, but be careful with that. Alabama fans aren't your biggest fan, especially, a week after losing to Oklahoma for the second straight year.
Yeah, it feels feels like playing with a little bit of fire here, but the idea that he would leave for Penn State just doesn't make much sense to me. It seems like, I don't know, is Penn State having some remorse here, you think, from firing James Franklin? It seems like they're struggling to find a candidate more than they anticipated.
I don't think so. James Franklin thing kind of ran its course. He started 3-3, sort of did it to himself after making the semifinals, and then they paid a bunch of money to keep that roster on campus. I don't think there's remorse, but I am very curious who their candidate's going to be, because Cignetti's out, Rule's out. You know, are you going to dive in? Like, is John
Sumrall? It's not going to be Kiffin.
Sumrall's more of a Southeastern guy. It ain't going to be Kiffin. It's not going to be DeBoer. Like, I really, you know, Brent Key at Georgia Tech, like, who are they really looking at?
Is Brady still an option? Joe Brady?
I guess that's on the table, but you'd have to wait a long time.
Yeah.
This is an NFL offensive coordinator. He can't do interviews till after the season, and Bills, not that great, but they're going to make the playoffs in all likelihood in the AFC, so this is the underrated, most interesting hire in the country, in my opinion. Outside of the SEC job openings and all the Lane Kiffin smoke, Penn State's going to have to hit this one, because you fired a coach that was stable as hell, won 10 games a year, but you fired him because he couldn't win the big game. You need to find someone who can win the big game, and I don't see who out there would take that job that has shown that they can win the big game.
Matt Zenitz from CBS Sports. When Lane Kiffin is hired as LSU's head coach, LSU is open to former Tigers head coach Ed Orgeron being part of Kiffin's staff.
Of course they're open to it. He knows that place, won a national championship there in 2019. Coach Braden Fajoco. Shout out to Braden Fajoco, who was on the show earlier this week. Zenitz, though, saying when, and then, you know, putting that together with Keith Carter's statement today about Lane giving an answer the day after the Egg Bowl. It seems like, you know, I didn't think LSU would be a part of this, but it seems like Lane Kiffin's going to leave. You don't make a statement like that as an AD if you don't know something. But if this is the case, Lane goes to LSU and then brings on O as an assistant coach or a recruiting coordinator, what have you, sign me the hell up. Sign me up. That's drama waiting to happen. I know they'll recruit well. Lane's great in the portal, and we know that Ed is very good with high school recruits. They have a good recruiting base. I feel like they're gonna not own recruiting. You still have Alabama and Georgia, but their recruiting base in Louisiana, they'll keep everybody home. But I will ask this. Here's my one concern. Is there such a thing for a football program as too much?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Personality on one coaching staff. Because that's a lot of personality, a lot of baggage, too.
I mean, Alabama had a lot of personality at one point, but you had Nick Saban at the helm.
Right.
So he could corral it. If you, Lane Kiffin being the one to corral it.
I don't trust that.
I'm not sure. Does this hint, though, is Ed O going to be a part of LSU's coaching staff? Is it, even if it's not Kiffin?
There's too much smoke,
like,
right? Yeah.
There's a lot of
they want
Ed
to bring
O
him
smoke.
Back, and he wants to be back.
Right, right.
He'll take any job, in my opinion, at this point. But if he gets a job at LSU, he's absolutely taking it. Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. They want, like, a native-born son. They want Ed O to come back by hook or by crook. But they just don't want him as a head coach. This would be interesting, though. I would sign me up for this every single day of the week. But that will do it for the Blitz. One more segment left in the day, and we need to get to the picks you don't ask for, but I give you anyway. Weekend winners on the other side.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.